And now I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Keep your bulletins open to page 3. We are in Advent preaching the Advent collects. And these are the things that are happening at the top of page 3, the collect of the day. Each week in Advent has a different kind of gathering prayer. It's essentially an orientation for us. Like, what is the thing that we're kind of collectively getting around and thinking about as we approach this week of Advent? The first two collects in Advent were about things that we wanted to do. We were casting off the works of darkness. You'll remember Darby's fishing rod. You remember Darby's fishing rod, right? Sure, we were in church, totally. Where were you? And then last week we had Sarah, who was preaching on the call to hear the word of the prophets. Remember John the Baptist, the pointer. So what happens this week in the Advent collects is there's a shift, and we move from things that we are going to do or would like to do to asking God to be God for us in a particular kind of way. That's what the last two collects are about. So check this one out. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. This week sometimes gets called Stir Up Sunday, because it's stirring up. Whatever you're going to do, God. I always thought it was like a stir up, like horseback riding, but at any rate, it turns out it's this, and it's this call, this admonition for God to show up with power and great might and come among us. And so to figure out exactly, well, in what capacity are we asking God to do that, let's think about for a second what season we're in. Advent is a season of waiting. And what in Advent are we waiting for? Theologically, what's the orientation of Advent for what we're waiting? Hint, it's not Christmas. You're like, I don't know what it is. We are in Advent, the theological orientation of the season is waiting for the return of the Messiah, the second coming of Jesus, the return of the King. It is this anticipatory season where we wait and believe and hope that God really is going to come back and fully and finally finish what God started in the resurrection of Jesus. The putting together of heaven and earth, the new creation, that the Christ will indeed return and bring all things to himself. That's what we're hoping for. And so we're looking forward to that. That's why all the readings are so funky and weird in Advent. Like, you're coming to church, you're like, it's Christmas. And then you get into the Episcopal church and you're like, oh, oh, oh. Like, why is Jesus so grumpy? Why does he keep talking about people getting taken away and thrown in prison and stuff? Yeah, there's no, where's the baby Jesus in the manger? Can't we do 3 weeks of that? So that's what's going on. So here's the thing about that, okay? When Jesus is telling his disciples about how this is going to unfold, about how God's new world is going to be birthed into this one and kind of bring all things into being made new, he talks about it in a particular kind of way. He's like, look, this thing that I'm doing, it's like a sower that casts a bunch of seeds on the ground and they grow. Some people get it, some people don't. This kingdom that I'm bringing, it's like a vine that kind of makes its way up a wall, kind of working through the cracks of it. This thing that I'm doing, it's like yeast that you fold into some bread. It'll take its time, it'll get its work done. This was to a group of people that were under imperial military oppression and were ready to revolt now. Jesus is like, seeds. These agricultural metaphors, it's going to take its time. What kind of kingdom is that? It's the kingdom of lameness. It's the kingdom of boredom. I mean, Jesus might have well said, the kingdom of God, to what shall I compare it? It's like a woman who went home and watched her paint dry. It's like a man who went into his kitchen and watched a pot waiting for it to boil. The kingdom of God, it is like all of you standing online at the DMV. Eventually, you'll get there. But people might try to kill you along the way. So, this is the thing. Jesus' kingdom, the way that the world is being healed and made right, it is not happening according to our timetable. It seems to be happening slowly, methodically, surely, but God is not in a hurry. It's all this sort of like, we're chilling, we're resting, we're It's going to happen, and we're trusting that it will. Which means that when we're talking about God, here, I'll walk over here. When we're talking about, I'm going to preach to David. When we're talking about God coming among us with great might to bring this reality, we're not talking about pro wrestling. Like, in our mind, we're like, God, the world is messed up. Like, does anyone feel like things are awesome right now? Right? It's kind of a weird and contentious time in our world. There's all kinds of problems, hunger, fear, political theater nonsense. And like, you think about, man, we do need you, God, to come and make this right. Get up in here and crack some skulls. God, it's time for you to show up and snap some necks and cash some checks. We're waiting. I appreciate you laughing at that. God does not snap necks or cash checks. Because what's the problem with that perspective on the way power works? Jesus Christ is the problem with that. It's not how Jesus does it. Jesus is like, it's seeds. We want a switch. We were ready to flip a switch, push a button. And Jesus is like, it'll grow. It takes it time. And that tension, the collect, walks us right through to, because it starts by asking, stir up your power, O Lord, and then it moves very quickly, second line down, and mercifully, speedily help and deliver us. This collect recognizes we want a slow thing to show up quickly. We want something that's moving slow to hurry up and get here. We want that, and that creates tension, which is fine for a while, until it kind of goes on for a bit, and patience turns to impatience. And then what happens in a group of friends when everybody starts to get impatient? We start to take it out on each other, don't we? Come on. So, James, this letter to the early church, and it's sort of, it's written, it's beautiful, it's kind of constructed like Hebrew wisdom literature, so it's like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and it's this, like, how do you live this kind of Jesus way out, waiting for this kingdom to come while still like pursuing the Jesus path? How do you do that? And so there's these admonitions and teachings to this community about how you live that way. And one of the things that he says, or the author of this letter says, it says, be patient therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crops from the earth, being patient with it until it receives early and late rains. Here again with the agricultural metaphor. We get it. It's going to take time. You must then be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And then, beloved, do not grumble against one another. Who likes some grumbling? Yeah, come on, church people. Let me put it this way. How many of you are addicted to blaming? Where are my blamers at? Yes. It's almost like reflexive, right? Like something goes wrong and immediately you are talented at figuring out whose fault it is, right? In fact, I'm so good at this, sometimes I'd rather it be my fault than no one's fault, because at least then I got some sense of control about this thing. When things aren't right, it is really tempting for us to turn on each other and blame somebody. It's somebody's fault, right? And at risk of like fulfilling every stereotype of an Episcopal preacher you might have, I gotta tell you about this thing Brené Brown said. So basically, Brené Brown has this story about how she's in her kitchen with a cup of coffee, and the mug, it's a full cup of coffee, and the mug gets away from her, and it falls to the floor of her kitchen, shatters, spraying her with all the coffee, shards of the mug scatter to the four corners of the kitchen. And immediately her first words are, "Darn you, Steve!" Like they would be. She doesn't actually say darn, but I figure it's Sunday church and I get enough emails from the Pottery Barn right now. I don't need them from y'all because I said a curse word in church. So, but here's the thing. So, "Darn you, Steve!" Steve is her husband, and she goes on to explain that basically he plays water polo with a group of friends in the evening sometimes, and that the night before he had been out playing water polo, and she said, "That's great, make sure you're home at 10 because I can't go to sleep until you're home," but he didn't get home till 10:30 that night, and so she didn't get to sleep until later, and so then she got up in the morning and wasn't as well rested, which means she needed a second cup of coffee, which is the one that fell. Ergo, dang you, Steve! Clearly, it's Steve's fault, right? It's not Steve's fault, is it? But that impulse in us that she describes, where we're like, we are going to, it doesn't matter, we're going to find somebody to blame. That impulse exists in us because we want control over the things that are unwieldy and out of our hands. But we also, it's the way that we discharge anxiety and negativity. Like the anger that wells up in us, we can get rid of it if we can put it on you. You're the scapegoat. So, I won't tell Jill you said that. So, are you with me on dang you, Steve? Darn you, Steve. It's not as funny when you say it that way, but I mean, I just got to roll with it. So here's why I'm bringing this up. This is an ancient dynamic. Why else is James saying, when you're waiting for this world to be set right and you start to get impatient, be kind to each other. You've got to be generous. Your temptation is going to be to turn on each other. Don't. You are not that way. And here's where it starts to become pretty contemporaneous for us, right? Because is the world as it's meant to be right now? No. Do we have some major, major problems? Yeah. And there are people making millions of dollars teaching you how to blame somebody else for what's wrong in this world right now. There are news channels and pundits and political people generating massive amounts of power and resource in their pockets, in their name, preying on this impulse, teaching you, oh, all that stuff you're angry about, it's their fault. When someone tries to do that, don't you listen to that pundit that's trying to trick you into doing that. Recognize that somebody wants you to blame Steve, and it ain't Steve's fault. There's a different thing that Christians do. We don't do that. That's not us. We are Jesus people, and we handle this in a different way in the way we control and manage our community life. So if blaming Steve is not the way to go, what is the way to go? Let me offer you a prayer. Ancient prayer. Easy prayer. In the face of that which is overwhelming, not right, really gins up your frustration and anger, the prayer is, Lord Jesus, come soon. Lord Jesus, come soon. It's an eschatological prayer, baby. Lord Jesus, come soon. It's an Advent prayer. Lord Jesus, come soon. Let me hear you say it. Lord Jesus, come soon. It's awesome because it's like, it's a lament in the face of the things that are awful. There's so many kids that don't have enough food in this city that don't know how to read, are going to live lives in systemic poverty. Lord Jesus, come soon. It's also a petition. God, somebody's going to make this right, and you said you're going to make it right. Make it right. Lord Jesus, come soon. It's also a way of putting yourself in conversation with the divine to say, but if I have a part that I could play in that, I'm game. Lord Jesus, come soon. Waiting in Advent and training in patience, it's not just so we could be sort of nice, moral people. We need to learn this skill to live well in this world. Because the things that are getting thrown at us are very difficult to manage. And if we're not careful, we will take it out on each other and we will become part of the problems that we want to solve. So this Advent, may you let Steve off the hook and instead pray, Lord Jesus, come soon. It's a seed, it's not a switch. We want a slow thing to happen fast. It's not gonna. Lord Jesus, come soon. Amen.